Hello and welcome to StarCast for Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. Reporting in on a partly sunny, very chilly Tuesday afternoon here in upstate New York. This update actually stretches out about 10 days from now. I will, of course, be doing twice-weekly updates between now and when all this astrology blows by, but I wanted to provide a wide overview of all that is about to happen and why it is that this particular moment is feeling so turbulent and maybe about to feel even more turbulent. The main thing that is going on is that two inner planets, Venus and Mercury, are about to station, to direct motion. They both do so in the sign Capricorn. And so when you've got even one inner planet stationing direct or retrograde, that's going to stir things up and create some confusion and sense of uncertainty and perhaps the sensation of not being grounded. And then, of course, kind of material and technological challenges, many of which relate back to mental and emotional challenges. That, you know, if you experience this astrology with too much frustration, it can tend to compound matters. And so even though it's not that easy, it is possible to bring a little bit of Zen detachment to your experience, though I know that even if you are the most prepared and really look after things, things can go a little bit wonky, and it's not easy. Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. Over the weekend, Mercury and the Sun completed their interior conjunction. That occurs when Mercury passes in between the Earth and the Sun. That's what Mercury retrograde actually is. It is Mercury overtaking the Earth in its orbit around the Sun. Both planets are orbiting the Sun. And then Mercury, of course, is going much faster than the Earth. And so three times a year, it blows past us, passing in between the Earth and the Sun. Mercury is basically a huge hunk of iron. It is a magnet. And so this is responsible, I think, for many of the effects of Mercury retrograde, which are often technological and then also mental effects that can frustrate your experience. Additionally, Mars has now entered Capricorn. I think that happened on the 24th or so, though I don't have that particular chart cast, but right at the moment, Mars is well underway in its journey across Capricorn, which is significant because there are so many very potent minor planets in Capricorn. A lot of those are right in the early degrees of Capricorn, and they include a centaur planet, a very energetic, an energetic centaur planet called Pholus. And by energetic, I mean that the quality of Pholus is like shaking up a soda bottle on a hot day and pulling the tab, and a lot of pressurized stuff comes out, and you can never quite put it back in the can or the bottle the way that it was when you first let it go. And so that's the energy of a pressurized release. Also, there's a point called Quasar. That is in Capricorn. That is about family matters. We're experiencing a lot of family drama at this point in history. All this COVID stuff is just a bunch of family drama projected out onto corporations, government, and the rest of society. Pholus also has a family kind of quality to it as well. So that's when things go out of control on the family level, that is often about Pholus. And by the way, with Mars conjunct or close to conjunct and soon to be conjunct Pholus, this is the kind of astrology where I offer my alcohol warning. I'm not a teetotaler. I don't think anyone should get behind the wheel under any alcohol, under the influence of any alcohol whatsoever. Forget about the acceptable blood alcohol concentration. I think that that's bullshit. These substances can affect your judgment, even in very small amounts. And it's always the little thing that results in the big thing, particularly where Follis is concerned, the small cause and the big effect. So be cool there. Additionally, Ixion is in early Capricorn. This is a trans-Neptunian point, object rather. It is very similar to Pluto, approximately 250-year orbit. And Ixion is the eruption of cruelty. It is not so much about being immoral, but amoral. If someone's acting in an immoral way, which is often a completely subjective analysis, but we do know there is such a thing as right or wrong, you can have a basis for a comparison. If people are acting amorally, that is to say with absolutely no regard whatsoever for right and wrong, well, that's a whole other problem. And that is the problem of Ixion, and right now Mars is in a conjunction to Ixion. So we're in this world right now where all of our previous concepts of right and wrong have been suspended, and it is rather disturbing to witness this, because it's not just that the amoral acts are coming from the top, it's that so many people are tolerating them and attacking those who question them. Not helpful. Okay, next order of business on the 29th. What day of I had that? Oh, that's I organized that in the article that I just submitted. Check your inbox for a new letter from me on Tuesday. If you're not on that list, just click on it on the top of planetwaves.net when that little window comes down to sign up for our mailing list. Anyway, next case is that on the 29th, a Saturday, that's this coming Saturday, Venus stations direct in Capricorn. Venus has been retrograde since 1219. God, that has gone quickly. That was more than a month ago. And the retrograde of Venus in Capricorn is noteworthy because it began with a conjunction to Pluto. In fact, a double conjunction, one on the 11th and then one on the 25th of December. And now it is almost done with its retrograde. Venus is retrograde the least of all the planets, approximately 6 weeks out of every 18 months. So that's not very much. It's only, I think, 8% of the time. And the stationary direct occurs on the 29th. That is a very exciting chart. In this Venus station direct chart, we've got a whole bunch of things in Capricorn. They include Mars, Ixion, Quasar, Follis, Vesta, Venus, Mercury, and Pluto in an exact conjunction, followed by the asteroid Juno. Now, what is so unusual about this chart is that at the time Venus stations direct, the Moon is about to enter Capricorn. So on Saturday, very early in the morning, by the way, 3:46 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, all times are Eastern Standard in this podcast, the Moon is just 1/4 degree away from entering Capricorn. So just as Venus is stationing direct, the Moon enters Capricorn, and it starts to make conjunctions to one planet after the next. For example, the Moon will make a conjunction immediately to Ixion, then to Quasar, then to Mars, then to Follis, then to Vesta. This is all going on Saturday, and then Venus, and then there'll be a little pause in the action while the Moon squares a few things, like Chiron and Salacia, so that's not really a pause in the action. And then when the Moon gets out to late Capricorn, it will make conjunction to Mercury, another conjunction to Pluto, and then a final conjunction to Juno. So this is to say that the station direct of Venus is attended by this really, it's a bit rough. I mean, the Moon making all these conjunctions to this wide diversity of points in Capricorn is a little rough. It's just certainly not the kind of typical, normal kind of rough. And the turbulence as a result of the Venus stationary and then changing directions, and then that combined with the more receptive, perhaps passive quality of the moon, which can describe a number of different things, including whether or not you feel safe. And also the moon has a lot to do with the public. So that's another thing the moon can represent in a chart. There's a couple of indicators for the public. The moon is an important one. And so it can represent public sentiment. I'm going to come back to that in a bit at the end when I do yet another recap of Jupiter making its conjunction to Nessus, Centaur Nessus. That takes place in early March, but it's a very important thing now. Okay, so on Saturday 29th, Venus stations direct, and then the moon enters Capricorn. Boom, 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 one thing after the next. All right, next up is that on February 1st is a Tuesday, is the Aquarius New Moon and the Lunar New Year, also called Chinese New Year, also called Asian New Year. All those people on that other part of the planet, where most of us have never been, they all think that New Year's is the new moon after the full moon, after the solstice. And so that's now. That's coming up now. Preparations go on for quite a while. And they all involve family and the ancestors. And so the interesting thing about this run up to the Asian or Lunar New Year and its emphasis on the elders and on the ancestors is that the moon is going to be doing all this kind of rumbling through Capricorn, where there Capricorn by itself is about the elders and family and the ancestors, and then when you combine that with the influence of Pholus, a centaur, and Quasar, a point beyond Pluto, all orbiting our sun, you get a lot of family orientation. Right, it's all about family related stuff, and so it is a suitable time to be contemplating the ancestors, whom I assure you are pissed off. Okay, so that New Year's thing takes place on Tuesday the 1st. Don't blow your fingers off with firecrackers, though you probably are more inclined to celebrate by ordering a quart of hot and sour soup from the local Chinese restaurant. That would be adequate, in my opinion, as an honorary Asian. Okay, next order of business, Mercury stations direct right after that. That is on Thursday the 3rd. That kind of sounds like Thurston Howell the 3rd. Mercury stations direct, and this is a very interesting chart. Why do I say that? Well, Mars is still making its way across Capricorn. We knew that was going on. But the thing that stands out of this chart is that as Mercury stations direct on the 3rd, the Sun makes a conjunction. It might happen on the 4th. It does, actually, in most time zones. But it's very close. So Mercury stations direct. The Sun is at 15 Aquarius 19, and Saturn is at 15 Aquarius 52. This is a cross-quarter moment. It is the exact midpoint between the equinox, no, the winter solstice, or summer solstice, depending on where you are, and the equinox on March 20th or so. And so the midpoints between the solstice and the equinox themselves are outstanding, prominent times of the year where there's all kinds of, divination and celebrations. This is the old Candlemas from the Catholic era, where you would light a candle in each window, assuming you had enough candles left by this time of the winter. The word Imbolc means in the belly or in the stars or in the milk. So we're in the belly of the stars and surrounded by all the milky light of the dark nights. And this is the tipping point when the seasons change. So up here in the north, where we're sweating out a chilly winter. Yes, we're sweating it out if you've got the heat turned up too high or the fireplace roaring. But it has been a kind of frozen winter emotionally, it seems, in a lot of ways, and a lot of things just seems kind of chilly and stuck and all that. This starts to thaw. So the upshot is that a lot of stuff happens in a very short time. Two planets stationing direct, a very important new moon, and all these other things. Now, as so that's like keep a grip, basically. That's the message, is steady as she goes. Don't try anything too fancy. Don't try anything too new. It's not the time to take risks. The reason for that is, in my long experience studying a lot of Mercury retrogrades, including since long before I was an astrologer, I was interested in Mercury retrograde, and usually conducting business as a journalist, one of the things I've noticed is that as Mercury stations direct, information comes out. Information comes out means it was missing before it came out, or it was concealed, or in some way veiled, or hidden, or seemingly non-existent before it emerged from the Rita. Well, here you go. The reason not to do things during Mercury retrograde, or as Mercury is stationing, that require information, sound judgment, that require your ability to make informed decisions, particularly where there's a point of no return. We could say that every real decision is a point of no return. Otherwise, it's not really a decision. It requires actually knowing what's going on. And so there's all this stuff that's hidden. It's going to come belching out. It looks to me in this kind of like a 72-hour window between the Lunar New Year on the 1st and Mercury direct on the 3rd. All right, now speaking of stuff belching forth, coming out, emerging from the Rita, as I mentioned a few times, we're in a once per 12-year event right now, which is Jupiter creeping up in a conjunction to bad boy Centaur Nessus in Pisces. So Nessus can represent all those icky, squishy, nasty things that people want to deny. And Nessus also represents the consequences of actions that we did not necessarily know that we were taking. Now, my take on Jupiter conjunct Nessus in Pisces is that it is the thing that is putting everything under the magnifying glass right now. There's all kinds of stuff coming out. I'm pretty much COVID bureau chief, which really means world news editor here at Planet Waves, and I've got 10 or 20 people sending me stuff all throughout the week. And so at least once per hour, I learn something I wish I didn't have to know and that I wish was not true. The pace of these revelations is accelerating rapidly. And it is going to grow as Jupiter places a magnifying glass over Nessus. And we see all those things we didn't want to look at. So don't let the ghouls and zombies get you down when they say that by, you know, thinking about something, you're going to kill someone's grandmother. We need to know what is happening. We need to be honest about what is happening. That means paying attention to things we don't like very much. And sometimes the truth is sad, especially under the current world conditions. So this conjunction will be building over the course of more than a month. It is exact in this other very critical window that takes place March 2nd or 3rd. And so we get a big burst of energy right around February 2nd, 3rd. A little lot of warm up. And then a month later, there's a new cluster of events. And one of those is the conjunction of Jupiter and Nessus. A lot is coming out and will continue to do so. The question is, are people so incredulous they can't believe what is plainly true and that five different qualified people are attesting to? And though I don't really have this capability, it is always possible to shove your head back in the sand and pretend that none of it is happening. But that is not the way of astrology. It is not the way of Zen. It is not the way of the spiritual warrior. It's not the way of anything except someone who likes to lie to themselves. That is not our fate. Signing off from Kingston, New York, Thanks for listening to StarCast. Please sign up for something. Buy something for me so I can keep doing this. All right. Till next time. Lots of love and bye for now.